the Hallmarkies podcast. This is really fun. This is our first recap that we have recorded for official Christmas 2020. It's happening. And this is actually an off-network episode where we're going to be talking about all things happening aside from Hallmark Channel. And we're going to be recording it's actually going to be on Friday this week, not our normal Wednesday. So when this airs, it'll be tomorrow, will be our, we're recording it on Thursday, and then this will air on Friday. We're going to have our recap of the Hallmark movies for this last weekend with Ruth Hill is going to be there. So it's going to be great. But this is the Off Network episode for this week. And I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and Dory's here.
Hi, guys.
Yay. And if you're new to the podcast, then Dory is the co-host of All the Feels podcast, another podcast that covers Hallmark movies. And in this Christmas, they cover Lifetime as well. They have their bracket. So, you ready for this season?
I'm so ready for this season. Our bracket is up. It is complete. This weekend was actually our first bracket matchup, which we're very excited about. Yeah. So, I mean, Christmas is definitely coming super early this year, but this is the year for it to be coming this early. So I'm ready.
Yeah, we need it.
Desperately. Dying for it. I've been ready since August. So let's do this. Pretty much.
All right. Well, before we dive into predominantly the Lifetime movies that we're going to talk about this episode, I wanted to give my mini review for the film Holiday, which is coming out on Netflix. Okay. So this film is a romantic comedy, and I mentioned it in our preview show that I had seen it, which was on Wednesday. and so I got to see an early review. It's now out. You can watch it if you want. It stars Emma Roberts and Luke Bracey. And one of the things they don't really make clear in the trailer is that this is a pretty R-rated, raunchy romantic comedy. I'm surprised they didn't have a red band trailer, which, if you don't know the lingo, a red band trailer is kind of the way of distinguishing a rated R trailer, so adults only trailer, because I think that would have probably been more honest to what the content of the film is. And I think that the cast is pretty strong in the film. I like Luke Bracey. I like Emma Roberts. I love Kristen Chenoweth as Frances Fisher in this. She's great. It has a really fun cast. And there are some fun moments. And I think they actually have pretty decent chemistry between Emma Roberts and Luke Bracey. And the whole plot is basically that they decide to be each other's dates throughout the year. Their holidays. To family functions so they don't get hassled. And as they go to all these family activities throughout the year, in Valentine's, St. Patrick's Day, all this stuff, they form a connection. And it's similar to the, what's that one called? It's similar to Plus One with Jack Quaid in it that was last year, that was also definitely rated R, but pretty cute. but this one I didn't think was as funny as Plus One. And at least for my particular taste, I didn't laugh that much at this. I wish it was funnier. But if you were looking for something that's not Hallmark and you kind of are sick of the Hallmark, even though it's just the beginning, maybe later on in the season, if you're getting a little tired of it, then maybe this has its appeal.
Hope you're not tired yet.
I can't go fresh on it. I didn't laugh enough for me personally. So I would give this like a 4 out of 10 for me personally. But if it sounds like your thing, then give it a watch and let me know what you think. So that's my thoughts on Holiday.
I'll definitely be watching because I plan on watching everything Christmas related this year. So I'll let you know how I feel about it.
I look forward to that. That would be really fun to hear your thoughts on it. So that's the thoughts on Holidate. And so the other little thing, and I don't know if you watched this or not, that happened this last weekend on Disney Plus is we got Once Upon a Snowman. Did you get to watch this?
I did. Okay. I watched all 8 minutes of it. Okay, good. Like 10 minutes long.
Now, how invested in the Frozen universe are you?
Not very.
Not at all. Okay.
Yeah, not invested in it. I do.
Have you seen like both the features? Frozen.
I have seen both of the features. Okay. I'm familiar with Olaf. My niece went as Elsa for Halloween before. So like I get it. I understand. And I thought the short was cute. Yeah. It was kind of like Olaf's origin story, I guess.
Yeah.
And I mean, I thought it was really cute. I thought it was going to be longer. I was like, it just kind of ended and I was like, that's it?
Aww. Yeah, I thought it was cute too. I mean, I even wrote at rotoscopers.com, I wrote a In Defense of Olaf before Frozen 2 came out, a whole article all about it.
I love Josh Gad and I think he's so funny as that character.
The only thing that I would fault the short on is that I really think there should have been a song. It's Josh Gad. It's Olaf. Every other short has had a song.
It didn't feel complete.
No, it needed a song. I will say that.
Yeah, it did not feel complete. Like, it was cute, but I was kind of like, that's it? Really?
Yeah. And at the beginning of quarantine, they did a little kind of short with Josh Gad singing and Olaf and everything about, I can't remember the name of the song, but just that we'll all get through this. And it was so great. I absolutely loved it. And I think that they could have maybe used that song or some other song because I think it needed a song.
Yeah, it needed a little something extra. I mean, you also see Anna for like 30 seconds. I don't know. It just like I wanted more.
Yeah. Well, it's all in like the background.
Yeah.
You see Anna.
It's very strange.
Mm-hmm. And Elsa just at the very, very beginning.
At the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And when that started, I was like, am I watching Frozen? Because
you're like, I'm not prepared for that.
I was like, I can't commit to that.
yeah.
I did think it was I thought it was cute. It was wintry. It was, I mean, I think kids will love it.
If you're a Frozen fan, you'll totally love it. If you're not, it's not going to win you over. It's not going to change your mind.
No, especially if you are anti-Olaf, because it is all Olaf all the time. In all different situations, formations, with nose, without nose, with head, without head. It's, you know.
Yeah. It's all new. I'd give it like a 6 out of 10. It was perfectly harmless, but it could have been better if it had a song. In my opinion. But all right. The other thing too, you miss out when it's not about Anna and Elsa, you miss out on their costumes, which I love all of Anna and Elsa dresses.
That's
one of my favorites. So,
and I mean, I will say like what I like most about the movies is the relationship with the sisters. Mm-hmm. So to have none of that just makes it less interesting for me personally.
That's very true. All right. Well, let's dive into the Lifetime films that we saw this weekend. So they had 3 movies over this weekend. And overall, the 3 movies, would you say that it was a pretty strong start for Lifetime?
For sure. I thought that it was a really strong start. I was impressed, especially like I kept thinking throughout the weekend when I was watching these movies, they did this during a pandemic. Like they pulled this off during a pandemic, and to have 3 strong movies out the gate is shocking to me, because I expected a definite dip in like quality because of the conditions that we're in. And I didn't feel that way at all. I didn't feel that way one bit.
Well, and I was really trying, and this is true with the Hallmark movies, because I think last year I maybe gave the early ones a little bit too much of a pass because I was so excited for new movies.
Oh, I remember. I was on early. And I was like, Rachel, you did not like that movie. Like, I know you and you didn't like it. You're telling me you liked it.
Well, I did like it, but I just, once I had sort of more to compare it to, then I was like, oh yeah, that was pretty bad. But just the glow, it's like Christmas is starting. I get intoxicated. I'm trying to be more objective here.
You're drunk on Christmas. That's right.
I'm trying to be a critic here. It's terrible. Yeah, it was funny. I interviewed Ashley Williams, and she was like, "Ooh, you're the Rotten Tomatoes lady, aren't you?"
I love that. I love that. That's what you're famous for.
Yeah. Like, I've got a reputation to uphold.
She's
here.
A tough one. She's yeah. the Rotten Tomatoes lady.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. So yeah, so Christmas on Ice. I was trying to be objective and look at these. And Christmas on Ice, I had given a sock to in our preview, if you recall.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And because this story was on the preview for Lifetime,
you were like, indoor rink, outdoor rink, who cares? Why are we? Why are we flipping out about this?
Get yeah, over. The conflict between the indoor and outdoor rinks didn't sound too promising to me.
But it turns out it wasn't really a conflict. Like, no. Not in that way, you know?
No. And yeah, so the plot in this, as far as the description is, former champion figure skater Courtney, who runs the city's outdoor skating rink, falls in love with Noah, an unlikely benefactor, as she must rally the resources of her young skating class to throw a Christmas carnival and save the recreational heart of the community. I would say that's not a very good description. Would you
no,
agree?
It's not. Yes. And I have to say, overall, these synopses for both Lifetime and Hallmark have been really not great because no. You hear, like, we base everything in our preview shows, both Hallmarkies and us at All the Feels, yeah. strictly on a plot synopsis. And based on the synopsis, I'm like, this sounds terrible. Like, ew, yeah. I don't want to watch this. And then you watch it and you're like, okay, that was cute. And they really undersold it in the synopsis. That happened yeah. Yeah. with these Lifetime yeah. ones.
It did. And so I'm saying to Lifetime Channel, Amy Winter, if you're listening to this podcast, right, which I hope you are, hire us to do the yes. synopsis. Dory and I could do a much better job.
Let us write them. Come on. Yes. Like, I mean, they need to be enticing and yeah. they need to do justice to these super cute movies. Give us yeah. a call. We're yeah. here and we're we would. Ready. All yeah. we do is Christmas. So we're ready.
Yeah. Because it's not, she doesn't like put on a carnival. Like that's not really part no. of the story. Like no. it's more of a political movie with her like, trying to convince the mayor or to change, like they don't even mention the mayor in that summary,
and he's a huge part of the story.
Oh yeah,
and huge. You're right, it is like a budget issue. It's like a city budget issue and trying to figure out like how her rank and how her program can justify itself among other priorities. And I think that is more relatable and more interesting and also more like real life than what the synopsis said, which was like, she's throwing a Christmas carnival to save the rink. That's not exactly Mm-mm. how that went. And I Mm-mm. thought the way they did it was really interesting, like she's trying to plead her case by sending all those Christmas cards. Like I thought that was so cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. And so this stars Abigail Klein and Ryan Cooper, and I had never seen anything with either of them.
Me either,
to my knowledge. It's at least in Leeds, and I thought they were both really good. I really liked them both. I thought she was very sweet. Yeah,
I agree. I thought they had good chemistry. Mm-hmm. I also liked her roommate and I liked, her employee, her Zamboni driver. He was really funny. The side characters were hilarious. Yeah. Like, the little girl was so good. She was very cute and very sweet.
I was going to ask you about the little girl, though. Do you think it's a little much to have her making those cookies?
Probably. But I didn't.
So she makes cookies. I didn't necessarily
mind it.
His and hers, like a little family portrait in sugar cookies. Gingerbread cookies on the tree as ornaments. And that's laying it on a little thick. I think if I mean, it's perfect for the movie, but if it happened in real life, I'd be like, I think I need to leave. This is getting a little awkward.
It was intense because I did clock that, because in the way she places the ornament, she's like, here's me, here's daddy, and here's you, like right beside each other. And I don't know, at that point they were completely smitten though, so she was probably like, sounds good,
yeah,
I'll be your family, I'll be your stepmom, little girl.
Yeah, you're like, thanks for the help. I need all the help I can get, right?
And she like drew it out, like going to get each ornament and placing it on the tree. Like, it was, I mean, but it was very, that's these movies, you know?
Yeah, I mean, how did you feel they handled this whole reveal? So, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, then you need to watch the movie. So, there's a big reveal. She sees this picture in the mayor's office. And did you know immediately that that was our co-leads, ex-wife who's passed away?
I had no idea.
Really?
I did not see it coming. And I was texting with my co-host, Erica, and she did not see it coming either. We were both like, plot twist! We had no idea how these things would all come together. I was surprised. They tricked me.
It was pretty cute. It was pretty cute.
I mean, it was unexpected. I just didn't know, because you know that the guy is a widower, and you know that the mayor hates Christmas for no discernible reason, and he seems to not care for this ice rink, her outdoor rink. He seems to not really care if it stays or goes, and you don't know why, but I didn't think that those two things were related. And you do see this ex-hockey player in the mayor's office all the time, which is also funny. And I probably should have been like, why does he keep meeting with the mayor? He's just like a businessman in the town.
At first I thought that he was the mayor's son. And it didn't occur to me that he'd be the son-in-law, but then it kind of all started to fall into place.
Very tricky Lifetime. Very tricky. I liked it.
It was really cute though. She sends she gets the 1,000 Christmas cards to come to keep the oval. Mm-hmm. They said oval, I think, 5 million times.
Yeah, the skating oval, 8 million times.
oval. And I loved these cards. They were just like, Merry Christmas, keep the oval.
and her roommate is conveniently the mayor's assistant. Mm-hmm. So she just keeps bringing in these stacks of Christmas cards. And of course, I mean, I have to say the mayor was a really great Scrooge-like character.
Yeah, he was good.
He was opening these cards like, oh, Christmas, get this out of my face. And it was just so funny.
So one little nitpick I have in this movie that I didn't love was I thought the music was too loud. For a lot of it, and it was too much. It was too like, whoa, I'm going all over the keyboards. It should just, when you have background music like that, it should just be sort of this light, breezy kind of thing you hardly even notice. When I'm noticing the music, it's too loud. It's too much. So that's a small nitpick that could have been better, I think.
Yeah.
It was a lot. I was like, wow, this person really like tried too hard. Now it's too much.
Yeah, they were all over that score.
Yeah, they were. And I also, this is a huge nitpick, but she wears, when they're doing the cookie baking and the tree decorating scene, which was a whole long montage, which I loved, but I hated her sweater. It was like this weird 1980s black and white weird sweater. It's like, why is she wearing that?
It's funny because you tweeted you hated the sweater. And then I was watching the movie with Erica and I sent her, I was like, Rachel hates the sweater.
Yeah.
And Erica goes, I really like it. I said, me too. And so me and Erica
were too big for her. And it just looked, I don't know. I was like, what is this? Is this like a 1980s music video all of a sudden? Like,
it is a loud sweater. Like the pattern is loud.
Yes.
But I like a loud sweater. Yeah. And so both Erica and I were like, yeah, I'd wear that. I mean, did it look a little bit like a tablecloth? Yes. Did it have poncho vibes? Also, yes. I still thought it was cute. I was like, I'd wear that.
That's so funny.
And then Mel's comment was that she was concerned because she was making cookies in this black and white sweater and it could be ruined with flour or sugar or whatever.
Was she a fan of the sweater aside from impracticality?
She didn't say, which leads me to believe she did not care for the sweater. Okay, she was probably on your team, but okay, Eric and I both wanted it. Anyone knows where we can get that sweater? Let us know.
Yes. So I thought that the near kiss was really good in this. I mean, the kid being causing the darn near kiss. It's classic.
We have an interruption.
Yes. Yep. And she speaks before the city council, and that was classic for this kind of movie. It was like Capra-esque almost. You know, you could put Jimmy Stewart doing it. It was great.
Yeah.
And then that scene when she thinks that he has betrayed her. And she's lying there on the ice, just
drama. Out.
Like, it was great.
She falls while she's, you know, she's skating out her frustration, and she falls and just rolls over onto her back and throws her arms out, and she's in tears, and it's just like so dramatic. And the camera's directly above her head. I mean, it's just
great.
Magical. Yeah. I loved it. Oh, it cracked me up.
Yep. And then the whole ending with the presentation for the whole town in honor and renaming the rink after the daughter. It was just really sweet. And so overall, I really enjoyed the movie. I mean, if my only complaints are about a sweater and maybe a little too loud music, not too bad.
I know. I really loved the resolution. Like, I think this was really smart and really well done. I liked that, you know, we find out that the mayor's daughter loved to skate and that she passed away. And so he just kind of has a negative connotation with, you know, it's probably hard for him to see all those people skating in that rink every year. And he can't see her out there anymore. He can't see his daughter out there anymore. And it's really great how they decide, like, they cover everything. Like, they figure out the budget issue. They figure out how to honor the daughter. And even the mayor gets out there on the ice and he's so cute skating around. It's just adorable. I thought it was really cute. And what I really liked about it is, so, you know, I love a skating movie. But I'm also very picky about the skating scenes in a skating movie. Mm-hmm. And what I liked about this one is that there weren't any big scenes that they had to like cover. And there were like a couple where she would skate around and do a little program, but they were pretty good. Yeah. How they used the body double and everything. And I think it's because she was a former professional skater, but like, it's not like she was competitive. She really just wanted to save the rink so she could keep teaching classes to the kids. Mm-hmm. So they didn't have to have a big performance aspect to it that they had to like cover and get music and get costumes and do a lot of like magic in post. And I think that made it better. Mm-hmm. You know, the focus wasn't really on the skating all that much.
Yeah, because I mean, they're really great skating movies, and the reason why they're good is because if you look into the cutting edge, they trained really hard for that,
for sure.
They were
right. That's a lot of
months.
Yeah,
and obviously that's not gonna be the case here, but this one I feel like they got pretty competent skaters to do it. So it wasn't distracting, at least for me.
Me either.
Any of the skating scenes. So that was good. So we do stars for Lifetime. Out of 5 stars, what would you give?
I'd give this one 3.75 stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you. I'm gonna give the same. It was a lot of fun. Definitely, like I said, I gave it a sock, so it was better than I anticipated.
We were both pleasantly surprised, and it was the first movie. I'm always kind of risky. I'm always like meh for the first movie. Mm-hmm. Great. It was great fun. It kept my attention the whole time, which for me is the biggest indicator that I like a movie, because it is so easy with us sitting in our homes right now to get on our phones and to get on our computers and whatever. But I was watching the whole time.
Yep, me too.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Very good. All right. So then we had Christmas Unwrapped, and this was on Saturday. And I can't remember what I gave this one. I didn't write it down. I should have. But this one, it follows Charity, an ambitious reporter who learns the true meaning of Christmas when she investigates Eric Gallagher, a beloved member of the town who insists all the gifts he provides are from none other than Santa himself. And this starred Amber Stevens West and Marco Grazzini and Cheryl Ladd. And so this film, overall, I enjoyed it, especially by the end. It took me a little while to warm up to her. I mean, I know that's by design. She's supposed to be kind of, you know, Scrooge at the beginning and everything. But she was almost a little much for me at first. And I'm like, wow, you're getting, because you have to be really careful how you do that. And when you do the transition, how you do it. And how unlikable do you make your lead character? That's tricky. And they just skirted it. It was going on a little too long. I'm like, oh, man, she's a lot. And but then it won me over. So they succeeded, I guess. And so this movie was written by Carly Smale. And it said, I think, in the summary, when we're talking, it said story by. And so I wasn't sure, like, it had a bunch of people in the writing, so I wasn't sure how much was her, but when we had our patron watch along with her, she told us that she basically wrote it. And so that made me more excited because I love her. She did Christmas Pen Pals and she did Snowed In Christmas and she's a very good writer. And I think you could definitely see that there was some really solid writing in this movie. Particularly little scenes like when they're debating about who's the best the best Ebenezer Scrooge, who's this, like little scenes of dialogue like that, I think elevate these kinds of movies, the good ones over the, you know, just okay ones. When you get that kind of witty banter, that's gold as far as I'm concerned. And so overall, what did you think of this one overall?
I liked it, and color me surprised that I liked it, because I do not care for a Santa movie in most situations. I am not the one who is here for like the Santa magic of these movies. I normally hate that. And this, I was shocked that I was enjoying it. And I think it's because the Santa-ness was not overt. Like, she meets this guy and he is magically producing, you know, $2 million worth of gifts every year for people for Christmas. But like, he's kind of the face of this Christmas magic. And it's not like Santa, you know, winking from the corner, like, I'll make your dreams come true or whatever. And I love that it was handled that way. She does have the meeting, the one meeting in the coffee shop with the, I guess, Santa. Mm-hmm. And that is brief, and it's kind of confusing. Like, she doesn't really know what's going on, and we're all kind of like, who is that? Like, what is this? Is that Santa? Whatever. So I thought that that magical aspect was handled really well, because it was like grounded in a real life person that she's interested in.
Yeah. And the only thing about it, though, like for me, well, the only thing about it for me was that as far as that aspect of it, is I kind of felt like, is this enough for him to be this big of a deal? Because it seemed like most of the stuff that he did was pretty small, like a free skating day, a movie day. It's not like he's like Oprah giving everybody cars, or, you know what I mean? Like something like that. Like, everything seemed pretty doable. Like, I think if I decided right. I wanted to right. do a free movie day, I could probably work up enough funding if I tried hard. Like, it didn't yeah. seem that crazy to me to be like, this is front story. We're putting our big reporter on. This is going to be a big thing.
Yeah. Well, the whole story aspect I could have done without. And the, we'll get into that. We'll get into the end of the movie and the last scene later. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. Like, the thing that did make me laugh was like, we have to uncover what's going on behind this guy's like evil empire of gifts. It was just like, no, stop. And he says, you know, we fundraise all year, and you're right. It, like, if you fundraise all year and that's all you do, you probably can afford like a movie day and and some other, and like a skating day. Like, you can probably afford some of those things. So it yeah. is funny that they were like, you know what? It was just because he was mysterious and hot. That's why they wanted him on the front page. And you know what? He was very cute.
He was very, I agree with you. And most of that kind of stuff would probably end up being donated anyway. So the amount of funds that it's going to require from this guy is not very much, especially if there's, if it's kind of this sort of, not notorious, but this kind of famous, it's developed sort of reputation of some kind. Like, I'm sure the skating rink would just donate a day, you know, to helping these right. kids get to skate. I'm sure the theater would have donated or made very cheap, you know, the theater. So I just feel like it's not front page material here, but nevertheless,
but he is front page material.
Yes, he is. Yes. And I, like I said, I loved the little banter between the two. And for the record, I do not think that George C. Scott is better than Michael Caine as Scrooge, because
Muppets Christmas Carol is the best.
George C. Scott doesn't even try an English accent. He's like the most American Scrooge I've ever heard. And the thing is they go back to his past, and these like little baby Scrooge has like an English accent. So I'm like, what happened? Where did he go?
He lost his accent.
Like, how all of a sudden did he turn into General Patton? Like, what is going on? But it's a good movie. I like the George C. Scott version, but he is not a better Scrooge than Michael Caine. I will fight anyone on that any day. And plus the fact that you got to think that Michael Caine had to do all of those things and all of those songs while he was walking on, because when they do the Muppets, they you walk on a little like platform, mm-hmm. and then they have the puppeteers, sorry to break the magic, the puppeteers in the ground in like down below with their
You're
hands
ruining the
up.
Christmas magic. I thought the puppets walked and talked and sang on their own. Kermit is real.
So when you're walking, when you're walking in a scene with Muppets, you have to maintain a small little spot on this platform, otherwise you'll fall down into where the puppeteers are. And so the number of things that you have to keep coordinated while giving a good performance, while performing with the Muppets is a lot of things to keep in all going at the same time while continuing to walk and not fall down into the tunnels. So I think that that alone gives his performance the edge, and the fact that he actually has a British accent. So
yeah, it's kind of important.
And Michael Caine gets the edge there for sure. He's not my favorite Scrooge, but he's definitely better.
So okay. You would have had a spirited debate on this date. You would have been right. <true. laughs> You would have had a great date with this guy, a winter picnic where you could debate
if Christmas
Carol performances.
If anybody wants to go on a date with me and debate Christmas Carol performances, I'm available. I'm ready to go.
She's got strong opinions.
Yeah, and I do.
Ready. And she's single. So let's go.
Let's do it. Okay. So I did think it was so cute when he gets her that Rachel Reporter doll.
I know.
So cute. Loved it.
I mean, and I really love her. Like, I think I had less of an issue with her being a little tough at the beginning because she was on this show I loved, Greek, on ABC Family. Mm-hmm. So I just had an affinity for her going into the movie. So I didn't really mind when she was a little like abrasive. Like that first meeting they have, she's straight up rude. But I still was going with it because I love her. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it. It was very fun. Like, yes, it was about doing all of these great events for the holidays for people who deserve it. Mm-hmm. But we also really got to see their relationship progress. And we got to see them getting to know each other. And I always appreciate that in these movies, as opposed to just like, it's love and that's it. You know, we got to see them actually like going on dates and stuff. And that was fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. And I loved when they had the whole dancing scene. That was so good.
You love a dancing scene.
I love dancing scene.
No matter really what good. Song is playing.
Yeah, that's right. I can't remember what song was playing. I should have written that down.
Toyland.
Was this time?
Oh, no, it wasn't this
last time.
It was last time. I don't know what song was playing, but they did have a great dance. Can we talk about her red dress?
Yeah, she looked baba boom.
Like, that was a killer red dress. And I know you appreciate a red dress at Christmas. I do. Yeah.
That's true.
She looked great.
She did. And it was a nice comparison between the two because he is all about the magic and believing and faith and hope and she's all about facts and logic and reason and all of that stuff. So like that's just what you want for your Christmas romance. And right. I kind of like a little bit of whimsy, and I miss that because I like that in some Christmas movies. And so it's kind of nice when Lifetime can give that to us because Hallmark hardly ever does. And so they've done a good job with something like Christmas Perfection, which had that kind of magic and whimsy. It was so much fun. And here, you know, there's just like a little bit of magic, which I enjoyed. And
sprinkled in. I also liked her roommate in this movie. Mm-hmm. And how her roommate got a little romance of her own that I thought was really cute.
But one thing I wanted to talk to you about and see what you're feeling. So when you see these group scenes, skating, dancing, things like that, is there a part of you that kind of it's a little bit painful because we can't participate in those activities?
For sure. It's a little bit, well, first off, it's weird because everyone is just full faced. There's no mask. And I think we're so used to like,
that's true.
Being like that for me is always a little weird. I'm like, where's the masks? And then I'm like, you're watching a movie, relax. And it also is painful. Like I miss one of the things I miss most is like going out to dinner with my friends. I just had a conversation with a friend this week about how like we both had a rough week and all we wanted was to go to our favorite Mexican restaurant in LA and get a margarita. And it's like, you can't do that. You can, and you can sit outside, but like, it's just not the same experience that we are used to, you know? And like, yeah. Sharing a meal is so communal and that doesn't feel as comfortable right now. So it is kind of, it's, you know, it is sad in a way to watch some of these scenes of people gathering, and especially scenes of like concerts and stuff. I miss concerts. I miss live music, live theater, live everything. Mm-hmm. And it is sad. Like you feel that loss when you see those scenes, at least I do. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I do. I felt it, especially in the Luke McFarlane one. What's it called?
Chateau Christmas.
Because that one, the whole movie is all about, you know, planning this concert, and we can't go to concerts right now, and it was just like,
Yeah, it was hard. Yeah, it's like a little gut punch, you know. And it's like, what's funny is I will see scenes in movies of things that I would normally not do. Like I was watching something and they were at a club, and I have outgrown my clubbing years. But watching that scene, I was like, man, it would be really fun to go to a club right now. You know, yeah. It's like, yeah. Stuff that you would actively avoid in your life before. You're like, you know what? It sounds great right now to have someone spill their drink on me and to be like sweating through my shirt. You know, it's just so funny that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. It's true.
Yeah, it's true. And so I thought she was a very good crier in this movie. I thought she sold the emotion very well.
She did.
And, you know, the more she kind of gets into the case and finds out about his parents and how much she's struggling with that. Like, I bought it. I felt like it was believable for this kind of film. And then when she quits, because I love me an epic quit in a movie. That's like my favorite.
Yeah.
And so I thought she did a good job with that. And then the fact that her roommate also quit, I was like, yeah, double epic quit.
When she comes in with her box full of stuff from her desk, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good.
I loved that. I love an epic quit scene too. And also just a realizing that you know, I love people standing by their moral code and not letting things like money get in the way of that, you know? Because it feels very cathartic, because in real life, none of us are really quitting our jobs. But it feels really good to watch that.
Yeah, it does.
So, but I have a question for you, Rachel. Yes. If you start dating a guy, mm-hmm. you have the winter picnic and you are arguing about, you know, George
Michael Caine or George C. Scott. Michael Caine,
and you're like, this guy's the one. And he tells you that his business gets its funding from Santa. And he says, just trust me. And you are to ask no more questions. How are you feeling about that?
And everything has gone like really good up until then. Right?
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. I mean, he took you on a winter picnic.
I would probably giggle. I would probably be stupid. I would probably giggle and just be like, oh, he's just being charming because he knows I love Christmas movies or something like that. I don't know. What would you do? You don't like Santa movies.
I'd be like, I'm out of here. Santa's your boss. I'd be like, okay, Santa's your boss. Take me to the North Pole. And if you can't do that right now, we're done. Get Rudolph here right now. Otherwise, seek help. I mean, that's what
I'd
would
be
say.
Like, oh my gosh, I'm actually in a Hallmark movie. This is so exciting.
You know what? As I suspected, I fully expected your answer to be, I mean, I'd go with it. And I expected my answer to be,
absolutely not. This guy is crazy. He needs a therapist, not, you know, Santa.
So put in the comment section what your answer to the question would be, what you would do, or on Twitter, tell us. Hashtag awkward Christmas date. And that way we'll know that you listened to basically the whole podcast and we'll talk about it. It'll be great. Because that wouldn't be the most weird thing I've had happen to me on a date, so why not?
You know what? That's the thing. You're not even wrong about that. Like, weirder has happened. I mean, I don't think I'd be surprised by any stretch if someone was like, yeah, Santa's my boss.
Yeah.
I would just want a trip to the North Pole out of it.
Yeah, and be like, do you have a subscription to, like, Amazon.com?
Right.
Like, you get a discount.
Right. Like, what are the perks of working for Santa? And can I get in on that? And
do you get all the hot cocoa you want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know elves? Are you friends with elves? I want to see them and talk to them and be friends with them too. Does Santa eat all of those cookies? What's his favorite? You know, like, I have questions if Santa is truly your boss.
The only major problem that I have with this movie, why is it called Christmas Unwrapped?
Yeah, makes no sense.
No sense.
You could even call it like Christmas Uncovered or something, and that would make more sense. It just, I was like, huh?
Yeah, the Christmas Reporter or Christmas on the Case or Christmas. I have no idea why it's called Christmas Unwrapped. They literally don't wrap a single present in the whole movie. Or unwrap.
I know, it doesn't quite fit. It doesn't quite fit. I can see what they were going for, but it doesn't quite fit.
No.
You know. And this is another one based on title and synopsis. I don't think I was interested in this one little bit.
Okay, I can't remember if we gave it socks or not. Yeah. I can't remember.
I can't imagine if I knew this was a Santa movie that I entertained this for 1 second. But it was very cute. Very cute.
I enjoyed it too. So how many stars do you give that out of 5?
I would give it, I'd say 3.5. A little less than the skating movie, but right in that range.
Because of the script, I'm going to give it a 4. I think, Carly, you are a good writer. You're really good at your job. So congratulations.
She is.
So, all right. The last one we have is Forever Christmas. And this, as we said in our preview, was formerly Mr. 365 on the Fashion Flix Network streaming service.
Which we had all seen. Did we talk about this with Rachel? And we were all like, yes. Wait a minute. We've all seen this. Yeah.
And this stars Christopher Russell and Chelsea Hobbs and directed by Kristen Wolfe. And it's when workaholic reality TV producer Sophie starts working on a holiday season show about Will, a wildly sexy guy who celebrates Christmas every day of the year. She finds herself falling for her mysterious, unlikely new star, renewing her long lost faith in Christmas in the process. So here's a weird thing about this movie. I like it better as Mr. 365, and yeah, I don't think I'm supposed to, because a good Hallmarky should like the clean.
Rachel, it's too hot. You like the hot version.
A good Hallmarky, a good little Mormon girl from Utah should like the clean version better than the steamy Passion Flix version. It's true. I should, but I think here's the thing. It's one thing to have a movie that's made to be squeaky clean. Right. And fun and sweet. And it's right. Built around that, right? It's right. Another thing to have a movie that's built around being somewhat edgy, then is taken down to being your sweet, sweet, squeaky clean movie. Something
right.
is lost. And I think the thing that made this movie unique was the fact that it had that, as you would say, intimacy that was unique. Right. And other, so it just became kind of a generic movie. It was fine, but it wasn't unique.
Well, and there, you know, to be specific, there is a scene taken out
yes.
that is important because it makes
the rest of what happens make more sense. Mm-hmm. Because when you're watching the Passion Flicks version, there is a scene where they do a whole lot more than kiss.
Yes, they
and
do.
So the next day when they are at work and she is freaking out because she thinks he's going to hurt himself, he's on this ladder, and she, and later in the movie, they're talking about her friends like, okay, this might not be a great move for your career, you know, getting involved with this guy. It makes more sense because they at that point are together. Like they are really into each other. They're spending a lot of time together. It makes more sense than they just kissed a couple times. Mm-hmm. And her emotional investment in him and his expectations of her and her job and how she make him look make more sense with that context. It makes more sense when you know that they are like spending weekends together at her house.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense.
Yeah. And I don't even think they even show the maybe there's one little kiss, but in the big kind of climactic scene, they cut it out when they're just talking.
Yeah.
It's out and then commercial break. And the next is she's really excited in her room the next morning. Right. Like, okay, right. I guess that was a really good conversation.
I know you do. Like you miss. And even I think they cut out before anything happens, like they kiss.
Yeah.
The first time he comes to her house, they kiss. And I think in the Lifetime version, like they kiss once and she kicks him out. She's like, you got to go.
Yeah.
But
that's
in
it.
The Passion Flicks version, it's hilarious because she kisses him and then she's like, no, we can't do this. We have to stop. And then she like jumps on him again. And that's after that second time, she's like, okay, enough. Like you have to go. And even that's that like scene, it makes more sense about their chemistry. Like they have really strong chemistry. And I liked the Lifetime version. It was perfectly fine and fun, but I agree with you. The Passion Flicks version made it make more sense.
It made it make more sense. And it was just more unique because we don't get movies like that.
Yeah.
We're used to the sort of the really safe, clean movies, which
It was different.
Is great, but it was just something different, which was fun. And I just thought that Christopher Russell was really good as this sexy guy.
He was so good.
Yeah, he was.
He kept taking off that shirt, baby.
Yeah,
taking it off. I mean, this was the perfect character for him, which I think you said. Like, this is perfect for him.
Yeah, Patrick from Lifetime on Cork podcast, which I recommend. It is a more of a mature listening podcast, but really fun. Patrick was tweeting all about it, and he was like, ooh. And I was like, you haven't seen anything till you've seen the Passion Flicks version. He was like, what is this? I was like, find it.
I mean, if you can go, if you go a couple steps higher with your heat level,
yeah,
I would really recommend the Passion Flicks version because it's nothing crazy. Okay.
No, it's not even R-rated.
Crazy. It's not even R-rated. It is nothing crazy. But it does make it a little bit more of a well-rounded and interesting, I agree with you, Rachel, story. And I mean, you just get to see him shirtless a lot more, and he's got his little tattoo there. I mean, it is just great. It is a great, great movie. It's really, and I mean, I think it's really fun and funny too.
Yeah. You know, you've worked in television production. Is the whole thing just completely ridiculous on that level, or is there some?
I mean, there is a kernel of truth to like the story that you. The story that is and the story that you want to present to get people interested. Mm-hmm. I think like you can't fabricate a story out of the clear blue. Like that always makes me laugh when people are like, this never happened. It's editing. It's like, well, something happened. Some part of this happened. It could be construed in different ways. It could be cut with different things from different times.
Yeah. So and like music can make a big difference.
Right.
How it's music.
Totally. Well, totally. And I think what's fun is you saw in this movie, like it was so her version and her boss's version of the sizzle reel, basically for their show,
used the same footage but had different music and just kind of compiled it differently, and you got a fully different connotation about what the show was. It went from like sensationalistic to, or sensational to, like just funny and quirky. And that is true of TV, and that is the art that story producers and producers and editors create. One thing, as someone who has worked in TV, that drove me nuts, both when I saw the Passion Flicks version and this version. There's a scene where she's interviewing him. I think it's when he's sitting by the train set and he's like talking about it. And her producer and her other friend are in the back chit-chatting. That would never happen on a movie set, on a TV set. It would never happen. Like, you can't even have your phone on. Even if your phone vibrates, it can throw things off. So that part made me crazy, because they're having a full-on conversation about like, well, she really, you know, is pulling the personality out of him, blah 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 blah. Oh, that drove me crazy. Total nitpick, but it drove me nuts.
Yeah, definitely. You have to be really quiet on set. The other thing I wondered about is the whole scene where they kind of manipulate the boom mic operative to destroy the gingerbread house. Is that something that's, would they really destroy somebody's property like that?
I don't think so. That whole, I thought that whole scene point. Was kind of weird, because also, what is that? You also never want to make the crew the show. So why would you want like a crew member breaking someone's property? None of that really felt
right. So they wouldn't like, I mean, obviously there's some shows like The Hills or something like that where they're like bringing an artificial conflict, but that's with the consent of the cast, not like this where they're like destroying his property.
I think it is far-fetched to imagine that they would, you know, destroy someone's home for a story, for a plot point. But who knows, you know, people, there are crazy people out there, who knows, but it is far-fetched. And it also, like, that whole scene also was like, it's not interesting. Like, she breaks the gingerbread house that he can then rebuild, because that's what he does.
Because I think they were expecting him to like have some big response or something.
And that's what they wanted. They wanted the flip out. And that is authentic. Like, you want to draw, in reality TV, they want to draw reactions out of you, you know? And it's like when someone is sitting across from you asking you questions, like, they are at times trying to push buttons to get an authentic emotional reaction, right? Because a lot of times with reality TV, like, let's talk about The Real Housewives, which is my favorite. People love The Real Housewives when they fight and when they have those arguments. Like, you draw out some of those tensions as a producer to like get them to stir the pot and to say things that maybe they normally wouldn't say, or to say more on something. It's like, you give a little bit. It's like, well, talk more about that, you know?
They're not going to be like destroying property.
Yeah. No, but they're not going to be like, you know what? I'm going to set this person's house on fire because we need a story. That's not happening.
No. Okay. Very good.
Not from my experience. I don't know.
Right.
Anyone out there, let us know. Have you ever damaged someone's property for a storyline?
Yes, please. Let us know. All right. Well, so what do you give Mr. 365 and what do you give Forever Christmas?
I give Mr. 365 four stars, and I would give Forever Christmas maybe 3.75. I would just dock it a little bit, but I definitely think that Mr. 365 was better.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I might be a little bit more harsh. I think I would do 3.75 for Mr. 365 and something like a 3. Like, it was okay. It was perfectly fine, but it just wasn't as good. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So it's like when you go see one of those Disney live action remakes, and you're just like, it's not as good. Why would I watch this when I can just watch the other one?
It'll never be as good. It'll never be as good.
So there we go. That is these movies. So let us know what you think of these movies. And you can put in, what did we say was the hashtag? Shoot, I should have written it down.
Was it awkward?
Oh, yeah.
Awkward date stories?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Right down. Oh, I'll have it in the description section. I'll put it when I edit the hashtag. But yes. And so let us know what your star rating would be for each of these films. And when you get to see Holiday, if you decide to watch it, let me know what you think of that. And that would be really fun. And so thanks so much, Dory. It's always so much fun to get to talk to you anytime.
Thank you.
And where can people find you?
You can find us at All the Feels Pod on Twitter and on Facebook, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Great. Subscribe, download All the Feels, download our bracket. Come join us for the Merry Madness this year.
You all need to check it out. It's really good. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all over social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. I'll put my Holiday review right there. So check it out. And also make sure you're following the podcast, The Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all over social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews and for All the Feels. It really helps us out. People are able to find the podcast especially during this peak time. We'd really, really appreciate those reviews and ratings. And then also, if you are watching on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We really appreciate that. And we also realized on our YouTube that there was a weird setting that was making a lot of ads pop up. We've changed that. We fixed it. Sorry about that. We didn't know. So it should be better over on the YouTube channel if you prefer to watch your podcasts then listen. So check that out. And then also we have our patron group, which is really fun. And we have those behind the scenes, those patron watch alongs like we did with Carly this last weekend. We have some really fun ones coming up. And so please take a look, and you can support us for as little as $2 a month. And it really, really, really helps us so much. And then we also have our merch store, which has tons of festive designs. We have some new ones coming up by artist Jessica Miller that y'all are going to really, really like. So make sure to check that out.
They even have masks.
Yes, we do. We have masks
that are so cute. You can
check them out. So please take a look at that. That'll all be in the description section. So thanks again, Dory. I really appreciate it. And we'll see y'all later. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.